Okay, so he's got me on already. You could just leave me off.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and I'm humbled that pastors would let me teach. The Lord's teaching me, and I need all the help I can get. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. Amen. And if you would, stretch your hands toward me. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. But I need your help, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me say what I need to say and leave off what I need to leave off. And give me something by the Spirit, Lord, that will prompt their souls to be rejoicing in Jesus' name. Something to lift them up in Jesus' name. And I just thank you for it. And I give you the praise. Amen. Okay, and I'm going to put my extra eyes on because I need them. My good husband was making sure I didn't forget him because he knew I'd be up here doing all this. All right. We're going to start off with a couple of funnies. And let me say, I told Derek I didn't feel ready and I was stressed out. And he said, just tell Pastor Rock when you start. He said, tell him this will be the best one yet. So that's what I'm sticking to. Okay. What do you get from a pampered cow? Spoiled milk. And these are corny, like, you know, kind of like the ones Ishtails. Okay. we love Ish, don't we? Oh, but we can tell anything, he'll laugh. What do you do if you see a spaceman? You park your car, man. I'm going to do it again because I knew that. What do you do if you see a spaceman? You park your car, man. Yeah. What? You're not supposed to say that, though. What's the difference between a guitar and a fish? You can tune a guitar, but you can't tune a fish. Oh, come on now. I know they're corny, but you can pretend to laugh. What's the dog's favorite action movie? Indiana Bones, Raiders of the Lost Bark. These are a few extra, but they're quick, so I'm going to do them. What's a pig's favorite karate move? A pork chop. What is a sea monster's favorite snacks? Chips and dip. She got it. What's the dog's favorite dinosaur movie? Anybody know? Jurassic Bark. Last one. Somebody says, thank God. Rejoice! What did the vinaigrette say to the refrigerator? Close the door, I'm dressing. Oh, I can see Pastor Rock's face. Let me get busy here. Okay. I'm going to start off. This book, pastors were kind enough to loan me before they told me I had to teach. What was so kind about that? All right, I'll behave now. Okay. Jerry Savelle, Turning Your Adversity into Victory. And that's why I loved what you said tonight. I don't remember now, but it went right along with the message. Do you remember what you said that I just lifted my hands? She may not either. We're doing good to just get around nowadays. Okay, I know, I'm sorry. But laughter doeth good like a medicine. And a cheerful heart does something. Okay, all right. Okay, I got to help me, Lord, please. My hole's getting deeper. Okay. All right, I guess y'all were supposed to laugh. At least maybe I won't fall apart. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. The first chapter, things seen are subject to change. Okay, now I got to get on board now. Now he gives, I'm going to be doing reading from a lot of scriptures and from this book, and I hope I can keep myself kind of in order here because I've got so much, and there's no way I can teach from all these chapters. But the first chapter is the things which are seen are subject to change. And you know, There's a scripture, and I told Ish I found it, and already I'm just going to quote it from memory. The things which you see, they are temporal. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal. And that's how he starts this chapter off. He says the things which are seen are subject to change. And you know, Pastor Rock has always told us when we're in the middle of a situation and it just looks like it keeps going on and on, these things are subject to change. And there's a scripture that says, this too shall pass. Things won't last forever, but we do have to go through some things. And in Proverbs 13 and 12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, and heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Proverbs 12, 25. That's why we need to have a merry heart, because when we do get to where we're kind of bent over, and I don't mean that as in necessarily a physical bending, but our spirit starts to malfunction, okay? And we were given a creative spirit, Proverbs 20:27. We know that the spirit of man, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Therefore, our spirit is made by God to be creative, productive, and it's our spiritual production center. And in Matthew 12:35, Jesus said that out of the good treasure of a good man's heart issues forth good things. So the things that you and I desire to come to pass in our life are produced by, in our spirit, like a program on a computer. So here again, what we've been told over and over, and if we hadn't got it yet, we need to get it, is what we put in is how we're going to respond. Okay, if I keep watching a bunch of junk on TV that's bad and depressive, and I keep listening to the negative news, and I don't put anything in to counteract that, I'm going to end up either being oppressed or depressed. And it will be my own fault. It won't be that the devil got a hold of me. It'll be that he threw something out there and I bit.
That's right.
All right? So we can't blame the devil with every bad thing that happens. A lot of times it's our own fault. So if we're filling ourselves up with a negative, we're going to produce negative. Uh-huh. All right? But that's the thing about God. He's provided us with his good word so that we can focus on the word. And just like I said, things seen are subject to change. When we're going through something, we don't have to think, well, this is going to last forever. Because that's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of attitude, there it was. That's the attitude that makes us want to give up. We change the way we think because we've been going through something for a while, but that's not God's way. He said, whatever you go through, I'll be there with you. Okay, so hopelessness is negative. It's when people, it says, the Word of God says that the hope deferred makes the heart sick and causes your spirit to malfunction. Your spirit man is always wanting to feed itself the Word of God and write things and be around like-minded people that love the Lord. That's the kind of places we need to be. We don't need to go to these places where all you hear is the negative, and they don't even believe in God, or they used to believe in God, and now he let them down, and they're bad-mouthing God. That's wrong, and it's dangerous. So we don't need to feed ourselves that. If you get around that, you know, just politely leave. I mean, you could just say, well, I just remembered I've got to do something. You don't have to tell them you got to get away. I got to get away. You know, or you can witness to them and say, well, you know, this is kind of dragging me down. You know, let's talk about the Lord, you know. So the negative affects our ability to have hope, okay? But the positive affects our ability to be full of hope, hopefulness. And I like that because it says hopefulness, full of hope, full of hope. I'm just breaking that one down a little bit different. Okay, hopeless, less hope. Hopeful, full of hope. So we want to be full of hope, amen? Because we have the Word of God, His exceeding great and precious promises for us and our loved ones, that's how we get our hope. You can find a scripture, I don't care what you're going through. And I mean, like in your concordance of the Bible, you can go back there and you can look up something, whether it's lack or poverty. And it'll point out some scriptures in that area, and you can find a scripture to stand on where it tells you how to build up your finances. Right. You can you pay your tithes, that's your first thing. I can tell you that, and I'll tell you something else. It works. I've done it both ways. The other way, not paying tithes, it does not work. Trust you me. You will get yourself in a hole you can't get out of. But if you pay your tithes, you'll come out of that hole and you'll be on top. And you'll be looking down and thought, well, man, that was a long time ago. How did I ever get there anyway? You know? God is good and He's faithful to His Word. And He rebukes the devourer for our sake when we pay our tithes. I believe that with all my heart. He's always kept my children, even when I was a scared mama and was kind of fearful and wasn't walking on as much faith as I should have been. He kept my kids. And that is priceless to a mama. Am I right, mamas? Okay. Now let me get over here, because I tell you I'm going in several directions here, trying to stay in the same area. Okay. In Joshua 1 and 9, and I'll probably end up reading this again, but he says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And here again, things seem are subject to change. Okay, and I made myself some little notes here. These are just my thoughts. If you get in a prison, whether it's the physical prison where you've done something wrong and they arrested you and you went to prison, well, remember, Paul was in prison, and he praised God, and the doors came open, and he was freed. All right? But what about, there's other kind of prisons. There's prisons of the spirit and the mind. Just knocked my something off there, but still working, hallelujah. Okay? I know that I have done things in the past, and it would cause my mind not to operate correctly. And then because I would focus on what my mind was telling me, my spirit was buried under that oppression. So I wasn't walking in the goodness of God. And it wasn't because God wasn't trying to help me. It was because I had involved myself, or I had listened to the wrong thing, or I had just put my own, you can put yourself down. You'll get in trouble if you put yourself down enough. If you go to that mirror every day, like sometimes I know I want to, I'm looking, ugh. But you don't need to do that. You just need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk, or that I can do what I can do, and because it's all His goodness. Don't put yourself down, because if you do, you're going against God's will.
That's right.
God thinks very highly of you, even when you're not doing what you think you should be doing. We're not perfect, but a lot of us, we work in that area where, you know, sometimes perfection just gets in the way. We want to do good, and that's great, but we want to lean on the Lord while we're doing it.
That's right.
And He will help us through anything, and He'll help us be good, but that doesn't ever mean we'll be perfect. We won't be, but Jesus is. When we get to heaven, then we're doing good. All right. Am I helping anybody? Okay. Don't shout me down. All right. Let's see. And another thought I had. Sometimes like this, if you think, well, I got out of this prison, God opened the doors, and somehow I fell in again, and now I'm in prison again. Don't give up. You never, never give up. God created you victorious. And that's what this book's about, turning whatever is not good, adverse, it turns it into victory if you'll stick with God and do what His Word says. All right. I think I got to leave this book for a minute. Give me just a minute here. I'm trying to keep up with where my little thoughts that I wanted. Somebody praise the Lord for a minute.
Praise God. Praise
you. Oh, really?
Glory.
Somebody praise God. There we go. I can't help it. That's what I do. And I have to prompt you sometimes. I heard you praising the Lord. I just want it to be a little bit louder. Okay, we'll just go over here. All right. In Colossians 1 and 16, the Good News Translation says, "For through him, God created everything in heaven and in earth, the things seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him." So that's why if you don't like who's president, or you don't like who's vice president, or you don't like who's the mayor of your city, you're still supposed to pray for them. I mean, God moves by our prayers. But he doesn't have to do anything if we don't line ourselves up.
That's right.
So he wants us to act according to his word. And it says pray for those in authority. Mm-hmm. And if we would pray like we should and everybody did, there would be some peace. And I'm not going to read that other translation. Now, we talked about the heart when hope is deferred. I mean, you've prayed for something, you've been expecting something and waiting and waiting, but when that doesn't happen like you think it should, or I think it should, we start losing our hope. And it says that it makes the heart sick, and when our heart is sick, our spirit doesn't function like it should. And I talked about the spirit of man. If there's a heaviness in the heart, it makes man stoop. I mean, you can be walking straight upright just like I'm doing. I know I'm leaving the camera for a minute, but I'm going to do this. You can walk right up like this, but if your spirit man stooped over, people may not see it, but you know it. You know something that's not right. And I'll give you this little example. I've told it before, but I know everybody here has not heard this. Years ago, I was working in a plant where we would do this work on this assembly line, and then we'd have a break. And something happened. I think the power went out, so we were just kind of stuck waiting on it to come back on. So while I'm sitting there, I just started thinking about scriptures. And so I decided in myself I was going to quote to myself or try to remember as many scriptures as I could while I'm just sitting here. And I went through, I don't know how many. I know a lot. I don't always remember just where they're located. But so I was doing this, and I did it maybe 5 minutes, maybe a little longer. And all of a sudden, on the inside of me, I felt it. And I asked the pastor that I was going to church with then, what was that? He said, "Your spirit man stood up." Uh-huh. I fed it with the word of God, uh-huh, and it stood up. Uh-huh. So if you're stooping down on the inside and you kind of know it sometimes, just quote some scriptures out loud. Get you the Bible out and read some scriptures and feed your spirit. And your spirit, just like you, most of us when we leave here, we're going to go hunt something to eat because our bodies require food and we want it sometimes more than we should. But I know I do, and my body wants to eat food, but my spirit craves the things of God. My spirit craves the Word of God, and that's how I feed my spirit. And I can get my spirit to stand up if I'll stay in the Word long enough. I can get myself free from some bondage if I stay in the Word long enough. I can get myself free from oppression and depression if I speak that Word and read that Word and sing that Word long enough. Our spirit is made to be creative like our Creator God, who made everything. It will produce whatever we program it to. In the Amplified, Proverbs 12:25, it says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad." Worry, in the message it says, worry weighs us down, but a cheerful word picks us back up. So adversity causes us to be anxious. Adversity causes us to worry. But this tells us that an encouraging word will make our heart glad. If our heart's glad, our spirit can function like it's supposed to and keep us going. And a cheerful word. I know sometimes Pastor Sharon's done this for me before. Maybe I wasn't feeling quite myself, and I don't mean necessarily physically, sometimes emotionally. You know what you're working with here. But God loves me. And I would say something, and she would pick up on it, you know, and say, you know. And she would just tell me something like, well, the Lord has you, Patty. He's watching out for you in this area. And I can't put my finger on any particular thing. I just know she's done it over the years quite a few times. And it picked me up, made my heart glad. Uh-huh. And once my heart was glad, the depression had to leave. Uh-huh. I mean, it does. Y'all just don't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you just got to try this. It works. I believe everybody in here pretty much knows that. And the reason why is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and speedy in its working, more able to pierce than any two-edged sword. And it stretches forth till the parting of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints and marrow. I'm reading this different than this version is written. It says jointers and marrows, and it's and it goes into the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now let me read this one where I can read it a little bit better. Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Y'all, I love this scripture. It makes it active, operative, and energizing and effective. Now, when I was speaking those scriptures and my spirit man stood up, it was because it was energized. This is how you energize your spirit man. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, or the soul, and the immortal, the spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And I remember I read you that one from Joshua, 1:9, where he said, have I not commanded you to be strong? In this Amplified, it says, and very courageous, vigorous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm just telling you like it is tonight. The Lord is with you, each one of you, wherever you go. If you don't feel like it, it doesn't change a thing. He's still with you. And the voice that says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Never be afraid or discouraged. For I am God, the Eternal One, and I will remain with you wherever you go. And this is some of our reasons that we need to have some laughter sometimes. Proverbs 17:22, a happy heart. This is the Amplified. A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now that's when you get in that place of hopelessness, and you just kind of dwindle away if you don't do something about it. And I'm going to tell you this story. I may have been Kenneth Hagin that told it. I'm not sure now, or Norville Hayes, but... there was a man that he had gotten so sick with cancer that the doctors gave up on him. They didn't know what else to do for him. And they told him to just go home and relax. And he had his son come over and he decided, I don't know if a minister told him this or not, but he decided that he was just going to watch a bunch of old shows that were funny. And he started watching these shows that made him laugh. And he started laughing. And he just kept watching. I mean, he didn't watch them 5 minutes or a half an hour. He kept on, and I don't know if he had to do it for a few days. But he kept watching these shows, and he was laughing so much that it went from just a little ha-ha-ha and ha-ha-ha till he got to the point where he was bent over. He couldn't even stand up. He was laughing so hard, that belly laugh that actually starts hurting. And he did that, and all of a sudden, he was healed.
That's right.
The Lord healed him through laughter.
That's right.
So if we got something in our body that we need to deal with, I guess sometimes we just need to laugh at the devil, and we just need to find us something to focus on that'll make us laugh.
That's right.
I tell you something that makes me laugh. My husband, when he goes to bed, he can fall asleep real quick. And I know, especially when he's got to get up and go to Walmart, I don't need to disturb him, you know. But, and don't ask me why. You know how us women, we do things sometimes. But I'll go to bed, and all of a sudden something funny will strike me, and I'll think about it, and I'll snicker a little bit. And then I thought, oh, I got to be quiet. And then because I thought I got to be quiet, then I laugh a little harder. And before it's over with, I'm thinking, I'm fixing to get in trouble here because I'm going to wake him up. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing that, but it was so funny then. And I guess it made me laugh because I knew I didn't need to wake him up. But it's just one of those things. Don't ask me why I said all that, but it's true. that'll give you a little laugh. In Proverbs 7:22 in the Message, 17:22 in the Message, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Now let me go on and read this one from the Passion. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, but the one whose heart is crushed with struggles has sickness and depression. So we just need to watch what we put into our spirit. And some of these come from Jerry Savelle, and some of them, while I was studying, I felt some of these scriptures I ought to put in here. And you know, like I was telling you earlier about the prison, and maybe you get out of your prison and then you fall back in. Well, there's a good word for this, and Jerry Savelle did bring this out. He said, don't give up. He said, in 37:24 of Psalms, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. In the Voice, it says, and even though you trip up, you will not fall on your face because he holds you by the hand. So we will mess up at some time. But God doesn't turn his back on us because of that. I'm trying to see what I need to go through real quick. Also, let me read this. I'm going to run out of time. And it's Friday. I wasn't even going to be able to get to where I needed to be. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. This is from Jerry Savelle's book. Turning your adversity into victory, or if you've fallen, you can get up. So if you're under great pressure today, it is time to rejoice. If you think you can't possibly hold on any longer, if you're left wobbling on one leg, then take joy. The devil has just lost his fiercest attack against you, and you're still standing. So that's how you need to look at some of these things. And I had another. Did you know that? Oh, here it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. A lot of times we look at things and we think, well, this situation is just big. We feel like we can make it through some of the small trials that we go through, and we don't give up then, and we don't really get in fear. But then when we face a really big thing, then we feel like it's just too big. Well, nothing's too big for God, but this is what Jerry Savelle says. He says, when something looks really big, then you can know that it's an easy target for you to hit. Remember the story of David and Goliath? All the people of Israel were afraid, And David went to check on his brothers like his father told him to do. And when he got there, he saw this big giant out there ranting and raving and said he was defying the armies of Israel. He was probably cursing God and then was bragging on his God. And David was just appalled. He was like, what in the world is going on here? And he's looking at all this going on and all these people, he could tell they were afraid. And he went and he told Saul, he says, I'll take him out. I'm just paraphrasing now. I'll take him out. And he got a little bag, his bag, and he put 5 smooth stones in it. And he went out to meet Goliath. And Goliath was, you remember, at first he put on Saul's armor. It was too big, so he had to shake it off. It didn't work. If it don't work, shake it off, y'all. So when he went out there, he had these stones, and he looked at Goliath, and Goliath is just taunting him, saying, you coming before me? You know, he was looking at his size, and he was thinking, you know, this kid can't do nothing. And he said, you come to me with the armies of your armies and your gods. He said, but I come unto you in the name of the Lord, all the God of the armies of Israel, my God. And he took that stone and he threw that stone, and he was a big target, so he was pretty easy to hit. He hit him right in the head, and I've read several different times that when that stone hit him in the head, it cracked into his skull and went into his brain. It didn't just knock him out, because I used to think that, but it actually broke the bones and went into his brains. And he fell dead, and he cut off his head, and he took it back and showed that he had killed this one. And they fled, all the bad people, Goliath's people, they fled. And they pursued them, and they won the battle. But a little guy hit a big target. I don't care what size you are, who you are, where you're from, what you done, where you going, you can hit the target and you don't miss. One little more thing I'm going to say. I watch Swamp People. Does anybody know that show? When they go to get the alligator, they got to hit the spot right on the back of the head to kill him. That's where they got to hit him. And I'm sorry if I got one more minute. I want to read this to you. This is how you win, y'all. This is a woman, and this is from a, bless Miss Pauline's heart, she gave me this journal. And this was from this April 26th. Walking each other home. Mom and I were getting ready for bed. Dad was away at a conference. I need to go home, Mom said suddenly. The daughter said, Mom, this is your home, knowing it was her Alzheimer's that was causing a problem. She said, my home is identical to this, but this one is not mine. And she said, and she was standing in the middle of their living room, she was just having a problem then, and she was getting agitated. And the daughter said, I showed her the family photos and her name on the door. She rebuffed my explanations and angrily demanded that I take her home. It was dark outside. Could I lock the door and walk to another room until she calmed down? Should we leave the apartment? What would happen if I took her outside? I was terrified and her running from me or refusing to return to me and losing the leverage to change the situation. So I know she prayed, and she said, I decided to chance it. Okay, Mom, I said, let's put your shoes on. We set out into the night. We left from the front door of the apartment and headed down the street, arm in arm. We were singing as we went. We turned the corner and continued walking around the block. When we approached the building from the back, we then approached the building from the back entrance. I said, here's your building, I told her. Let's go up the elevator to your apartment. Here's your door with your name on it. Mom walked in, appeased, and I trembled with relief. And Mom said, thank you for bringing me home. It was the Lord showed her what to do. She ended up right back where she was when they left to go out to go home. She was living with her daughter, but she didn't feel like she was home. And so God showed her what to do, and she just walked around, and the mother felt like she was headed back to home. So
all these little situations that we face, they're nothing to God. They're something to us if we don't feed our spirit right. That's all I have. You punished enough. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.